our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we are blessed to gather in His name, knowing that He was dead, but He has risen again. Christ is risen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we go to that incredible event in the Old Testament church as God had another great deliverance, really a preview of even greater deliverance to come when He took His people out of Egypt. And so in Exodus chapter 15, verse 2, the end of the reading that we heard a moment ago, we hear these words: "The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, certainly as we go to the tomb on Easter morning, things are not always what they seem. And this is certainly true as God delivered His people out of Egypt. As you think about that day and how God delivered them, can you imagine being part of the Israelites being led out of Egypt in the way that God chose to deliver them? You know, God plans amazing paths for deliverance. And this is certainly one of those most incredible ones. And the path was through what seemed to them at first a great barrier, nothing less than the Red Sea itself. Imagine how that journey would have been. No weapons fired. Remember, God brought all of the plagues upon the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh refused to let His people go. And then we have the great Passover event, where God commanded the Israelites to slaughter that unblemished lamb, to take the blood of the lamb, put it over the doorpost of their home, and then the angel of death would come over Egypt, and all the firstborn would die, with the exception of the homes, the households, where the blood of the lamb was over the doorpost, and the angel of death passed over that home. And so all of God's people were spared from this horrendous plague, but not the Egyptians. And finally, Pharaoh has had enough. His heart is hardened. He concedes to let God's people go. And so they leave Egypt, one of the most powerful nations of the time, having a huge military. And here the Israelites, who were slaves, are walking freely out of this powerful land. But then they get to the shores of the Red Sea, and suddenly it seems like a huge barrier. It's a long ways to go around the sea, and they look on the horizon behind them, and suddenly they see that Pharaoh has changed his mind, and he's sending his whole army after them, and at the front it is led by the Navy SEALs. Well, not the Navy SEALs, but it was like the Navy SEALs of that day. It was the elite of the elite of the military. 600 chariots, we're told in Scripture. These were the really mean dudes that were out in front of this army, well fortified. And each chariot would have three people in a chariot: one that's driving, another that has the weapons, and a third that would be the commander of that individual chariot. Can you imagine? And that's just the elite forces leading the way. And then we hear there's the whole army of Egypt that is following them. Who knows how many horses and chariots and soldiers that are coming, and the dust and the noise, and they are behind us, and the Red Sea is before us, and there's no time to run and get away. We are toast. We are going to die. So thought the Israelites. They feared greatly, we hear in this text. And they cried out, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?" Boy, there's confidence in God, right? He had just taken them miraculously out of this land, but we can understand how this would be terrifying. We know the end of the story. They didn't. What have you done to us? They cried out to Moses and really to God. And then I love it. They go back to the good old days. They're thinking, oh, if we could have just been back in Egypt. Oh, if we could just be under slavery, least we wouldn't die. They wanted to return. Well, things are not what they always seem to be. And what seemed to be true was the Red Sea was a barrier to them, such a barrier that it was going to kill them because they could not escape. Well, think about death. Talk about taking things up a whole nother level. I mean, there they were afraid of dying. But what about death itself? Imagine being there with Jesus on Palm Sunday, and there's all the celebrations and Hosanna and yelling to the King of the Jews, proclaiming Jesus as King. It's a huge celebration. God's people are excited, and they're remembering. It's the Passover, remember? They're remembering back to that great deliverance, and yes, the Messiah has come, and there's even going to be a bigger deliverance now. That was just the Egyptians then. It's going to be the Romans now. But as Holy Week goes on, things aren't seeming to work out the way that God's people anticipated things to go. Remember, as you think about that, things are not always what they seem. And so we get to the Passover meal. And Jesus, again, celebrating with the apostles, and they would have recalled this great deliverance event. And the apostles must have been thinking, surely the moment's coming. But no, what comes is Jesus being arrested. Peter thought he would give one more last try in getting this going. We're going to defeat the Romans. He pulls out his sword. Jesus says, put your sword away. And the apostles watch their Lord being arrested and drug off to Caiaphas. That certainly doesn't seem like a deliverance. And so the apostles scatter. Peter denies his Lord three times. Jesus is delivered to be crucified. Jesus is dead. Wow. That doesn't seem very exciting, does it? In fact, it was downright terrifying. And thank you to Steve and to Ken and Angela and Jason this morning for the little drama at the beginning of the service. But you can imagine how they all felt. It was like we were looking for this huge deliverance, even bigger than the one that happened during the Passover event itself. But Mary Magdalene stands weeping outside the tomb. Jesus is dead. And the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they're contemplating, you know, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Where's Jesus? It's been 3 days. We did hear him say that he would rise on the third day, but apparently all of that is fraudulent. It's not going to happen. Things are not always what they seem to be. And so what seemed to be true was that the Messiah that they had hoped in, that they had trusted in, that they had really given up their lives for to follow him, is crucified, died, and buried. Hopes are dashed. And death is a bigger obstacle than the Red Sea. The Red Sea just brings on death, as they saw it. But death is even much greater than that. So, it seems. But remember, things aren't always what they seem to be. Because you see, God not only plans, but this is a really awesome thing about God. He delivers on his plans. Not just part of them, but he delivers 100% on every plan that God makes. And that seemingly horrible barrier of the Red Sea ended up serving as the most miraculous way of deliverance for the Israelites, so much so that God had directed his people to celebrate every year to remember what God had done. And we do it to this very day. If you were here on Maundy Thursday, we focus on the Passover. We remember that great event. God parted the waters. The seabed was dry to travel across. The waters were like a wall on either side. Oh, I love the people today, you know, the experts. Oh, no, they went through, you know, a wind came up, and they were in this marshy area. You know, the water was about this deep, and it was a dry year, and the winds dried out the ground, and the Israelites went across the dry seabed, so to speak. I wonder how the whole Egyptian army got drowned in a marshy area that the water was this deep. I don't think that would stop them. No, God says there's walls of water. And then what happens? The Red Sea becomes the greatest weapon ever. I mean, you're talking about an army like the United States of America today. It's huge. It's powerful. Nobody would want to stand up against them. God can handle it, though. And suddenly, when the Israelites are on the shores of the Red Sea, the opposite end, the Egyptians say, well, hey, we can do that too. They go charging into the waters, and then God says, I'm going to make that dry land a little muddy and marshy now at the bottom of the sea. They get bogged down. They can't move. The chariots are stuck. They're in the middle of the seabed of the Red Sea, and then this happens. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. God wiped out the entire Egyptian army, the elite forces, and everyone else. Who would have ever imagined that happening? But things are not always as they seem. A great and powerful army going against people without weapons is destroyed, not by the people, but by the hand of God. And is it any different this morning? And I love God's word to them, and it's still God's word to you and me. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, maybe death seems like that Red Sea barrier. You know, it's no way out of it, right? We're all going to die unless our Lord returns before that happens. Death seems to be an impossible barrier, but not for Jesus. Not for Jesus, who is God, who is our deliverer. And as he promised to the disciples that he would rise again on the third day, guess what? Jesus rises on the third day. They didn't know it early in the morning or even towards noon. Many hadn't heard the news yet. Many heard the news and they doubted the news. It was unbelievable to think that Jesus really could rise from the dead. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they stuck around for a while. But when they didn't see Jesus, they gave up and they walked out of Jerusalem. But then Jesus appears, doesn't he? He appears to several, appeared to Mary at the tomb. And I love it. It's his voice. Mary. And instantly Mary knows that it's Jesus. Totally changes the outlook of her day. Thinking the body had been stolen, just the mystery of what was going on, the sorrow, and now there's just absolute joy. And Mary runs to the disciples. I have seen the Lord. And they're like, yeah, really? Well, then Jesus appears to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They don't even know who he is for a while. He's walking with them. He gives them the opportunity to express some of their sorrows and their frustrations and their confusions. And then Jesus takes them into the Old Testament, which was the only scriptures at the time, and says, here, you should get this. It tells everything about me. And then they sit down and break bread together, and then they're just burning in their hearts. They're excited. They know it's the Lord that is with them. And then we hear that he appeared to Peter, he appeared to the 12, and there's so many events. But then, and I like how Gary emphasized it in the reading this morning, he appeared to over 500 at one time. They're together. 500 plus people see Jesus alive. Do you think that would be a pretty credible witness of the day? You know, in Scripture, it's only two or three that's required to be a valid testimony. Do you think over 500 might be pretty credible? Well, Jesus stuck around visibly in the flesh for 40 days because he didn't want anybody to doubt the reality that he was dead and that he rose again. Things are not always what they seem. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the good news this morning, death is not the enemy. Our Lord Jesus Christ has overcome death. And by the way, not just physical death, but this death was much deeper, eternal condemnation in hell for eternity. That's a serious death. But Jesus has overcome it all, and he offers the victory to the world through faith. It becomes our own personal possession. And even faith is a gift given through baptism, through hearing the Word of God, those wonderful means of grace. Death is not our enemy, but it literally is the door to heaven. And so Jesus, prior to going to the cross and the empty tomb, said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." Sounds familiar, doesn't it, to the Israelites by the Red Sea. Trust in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to receive you to where I am. You see, death is no longer our enemy. But through death, we are received into glory in heaven. Through death comes our own resurrection. For our bodies that have been corrupted and broken by original sin and all of the other sin and darkness that has come into the world, but we will be made perfect. Our bodies will rise from their brokenness and be glorified and made perfect. And only God can do that, and it's only through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate today. Things are not always what they seem. As you see the cemetery north of the church, boy, it seems like there are a lot of dead people out there. But I guarantee you, everybody who died believing, they're not dead. That's just their body. Their lives are in glory and have been for many years for most. But one day, these bodies are going to rise as well all over the world. And through Christ, then death becomes our friend. It is the pathway to heaven. And you know, when they talk about finding the death gene, which they won't because death is a result of God's judgment for sin, but even if they could, would you want to live in the condition that your life is in and the world is in for eternity? That this is going to be it forever? I don't know about you, but I'm not one that really gets really excited about the things that the world brings to us, like darkness, like sin, temptation, disease, sorrow, despair, brokenness, and the list goes on and on and on. I don't think I want to live that for eternity. But through death, God delivers us from all of that and receives us into glory. Those wonderful words recorded in Isaiah and then reaffirmed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, death has been swallowed up in victory through our Lord's victory over it. The victory has been won. Why? Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And therefore, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of our risen Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, that we may go forth and others may see Jesus in us, and that they too would come to believe. Amen.